Amen. If you look with me in the book of Joshua, here this morning, Joshua chapter 24, Joshua chapter 24, and we'll be making reference to chapter 23 and 24 this morning, but we want to read get started here today from Joshua 24, verses 14 and 15. I believe it is so important that we understand that there is an attack against family and against marriage. That attack has gotten so serious in our times that it has become a political issue. It is one of the hot buttons of this political election now, and has been for some years, that our society wants to try to define what marriage and family is. And whenever the world gets involved in redefining what God has established, then you have serious problems. The family and marriage was divinely a divine institution. God established the home, the marriage. Amen. And so we need to make sure that the steps that we're taking, that we're following in the steps of the Word of God, and that we build our lives and that we fortify our marriages and fortify our families in times like this. When there's such an attack of the enemy, we need to build up a fortress around our homes. Amen. Amen. We certainly do. We're looking at Joshua 24 and reading verses 14 and 15. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And serve ye the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Now, it's interesting that Joshua would make this declaration. Chapter 23 and chapter 24, Joshua is very old. His ministry is pretty much behind him. This is like his last message before he dies. And so he's declaring the fact that for the rest of my days, that I have determined myself, my household, my family, we're going to serve God. Now the reason, one of the reasons that he was doing it this way and making this public declaration to all of Israel was because all of his life had been a moving towards Canaan. And then whenever he took Moses' place as the leader of all of the children of Israel, he became a captain. He became one that was going in and taking territories and driving out the enemies of that to possess of the land of Canaan. And so God used Joshua as one who came in and drove out all of the enemies and to reclaim the lands that had been promised to the people of God. Now these tribes are taking their possession. And of the tribes, each family is having his allotment of property. Now, instead of temporary housing, instead of traveling more or less as a tribe and as a nation, now they're settling in individually as families, back to family life. And there have been generations that the children of Israel had not had this kind of blessing and privilege, just to take their promised allotment of land to build a more permanent dwelling house and to begin to be a family as God had divinely ordered. And so as Joshua is speaking to them, he's declaring to them and giving his own testimony as an example that we have determined. He said, I've determined I am going to serve the true and the living God, and all other gods will have no place in our life. And I'm making this declaration for myself and for all of my family. So what you do, the way you as an individual, father or mother or husband or wife, the way that you live and the choices you make, the decisions that you make, they will govern what happens and what affects the lives of your children and generations to come. And so we need to understand the importance of building a fortress around our homes and around our families. Amen. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 that by faith Noah, being warned of God of things to come, not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house. So Noah, who found grace in the eyes of the Lord, he prepared an ark. And sure, he was a preacher of righteousness. And he was declaring to that generation that they needed to return back to God. But his primary responsibility was to his own household and to those of his own family. Psalm 127 in verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. So all of the efforts that are put forth in the establishment of family and home and marriage, all of it is going to be very vulnerable to attack unless God is the center of that home. Amen. Now it happens in the church. It happens outside the church. People face the attack of the enemy. Marriages are attacked by the enemy. And we know that a large percentage of more than one half, they say, statistics say that one half or more of marriages end in divorce in our society today. And the heartbreak of it, the tragedy of it, and the fallout of it as generations are affected by that. And more, you know, it's every day. Maybe hundreds of times a day, I don't know, but with the multiplied thousands of families that break up, little children, you've heard this scenario over and over again, where the little children are called in, and they try to explain to the children, well, daddy don't love mother anymore, and so, but he loves you, And goes through this familiar scenario that little children have to face that they should never have to face. But they hear the words of their parents. And so you can imagine, even little children can understand the heartache of it. And they do feel the heartache of such a loss. Because they're probably wondering many times, if my daddy can love my mother and then stop loving her and love someone else, then he could do the same thing to me and stop loving me. And so little children grow up in an insecure world wondering exactly what they can depend upon. But if God is the center of that household, it doesn't make any difference what the enemy tries to do. If God is the center of that household, God can help and can be there. Even in situations where families are divided and marriages break up, if God is in the center of that family, they can survive by the grace of God. Amen. We got to build a fortress. We got to build a fortress around our families, around our homes, around our marriages. We must build this fortress. If not, then we're going to be very vulnerable to the attack of the enemy, because we live in a society right now, in a world right now, that it's very dangerous. There's so many things that the enemy is using to attack our families. And so we need to understand that the Bible tells us what we need to do. Amen. Aren't you glad for the Word of God? The Word of God gives us instruction if we'll just take heed to it. So you remember how we were describing the situation of Joshua and why he said what he did. And you have to go back to chapter 23 at the beginning of this chapter to really see how that Joshua was speaking to the children of Israel and to get the real complete message that he is giving to them. you see that he's old. The scripture says that Joshua had waxed old. He was stricken in age. This is verse 1 of chapter 23. Joshua called together for all of Israel, all the elders and all the heads and the leaders and the officers, all of them to come together. And he says in verse 3, "And you have seen all that the Lord your God hath done unto these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he that hath fought for you." Amen. And I think that that's really the beginning. You have to recognize that God is for you and that God will fight for you. He will be your defender. You don't have to try on in your own power and strength, but he is your defender. So he relates to them their history. Remember, can't you see how God has brought you to this place? He will continue to do that if you'll make him the center of your life. But if you forsake the Lord, then you will become more vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. You have seen what the Lord hath done. Amen. A lot of us here, most of us, no doubt, here in this service this morning, we know what it is to have a God who's watching over us and taking care of us. And we have a history with the Lord and with his faithfulness down through the years that God has been with you and he will continue to do that. So we need to be thankful for what God has done in our behalf. Verse 6, it says, "Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses." Not only are we to be mindful and thankful for what God has done in our past, but we also need to remember that we must stay with the Word of God. When you begin to listen to the philosophy and the wisdom of the world, you'll find yourself getting confused. If you allow yourself to be influenced by the thinking of this world, by all of the philosophies of this world, and let me tell you, it's coming from every direction. It comes from the television, it comes from the internet, it comes from every source of this world. The control of the media, the control of the thinking and the philosophy of this world. If you allow yourself to just be believe all of that and follow in the pattern of this world, you are going to be deceived. So you need to be a person of the Word of God. Be a person of the Bible. Stay with the book. Stay with that which has been tried and true, and be faithful to the law of God, to live by the Word of God. And you can't live by the Word of God if you do not know what it says. So you have to be a reader and a student of the Bible. And you have to build your life upon the principles of the Word of God, which are absolutely contrary to the ways of this world. The world is always going to be out of step with God and with the Word of God. Stay with the real Word of God. When the world says that marriage can be redefined and that it's not just between one man and one woman, and as it is prescribed in the Word of God, and the world comes up with a new philosophy and a new attitude, and a whole generation, the thinking of this generation is being affected by the philosophy of this world, we must build a fortress around the minds and the hearts of our children, so that they know what the Bible has to say about our homes, about our marriages, and how God intends for a Christian home to be and a family to be. They're not going to get it from the world. They're going to get confused by the way of the world. Amen. Your child needs every exposure. Sure, he needs Sunday school and church. He needs to be here in every service that he can possibly be in. But he also needs to have the opportunity in the home to have the expression and the instruction of the Word of the Lord. And it needs to be lived out in the household. The father being the godly leader. The mother being the godly leader. The family being what God intended it to be. And you're going to have to stay and be faithful to the Word of God. Amen. Stay with the book. That's the instruction that Joshua gave to them. Be therefore very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law. And I watched online this little interview with John MacArthur. He was on a Larry King, and it was debating this very subject of marriage and family. And I have to say, I don't always agree with John MacArthur. He bothers me sometimes. But I was so proud of him that on that interview. He was so strong to speak and courageous to speak the Word of God on that very wide media event there, contrary to what the other voice was speaking. Actually, it was the mayor of the city of San Francisco who was the one who sanctioned all those perverted marriages out there a couple of years ago, whenever it was, 2 or 3 years ago. That was the other person who was speaking his worldly philosophy and his philosophy of acceptance and inclusion, and we've got to be open and we've got to be accepting of other people and their differences and their diversity. And John just come out there and told them what the Bible says. This is the Word of God. This is the Bible. And I was thankful that there was someone there who would be courageous enough to be made fun of and ridiculed, but was willing to say, this is what the Bible says about it. We need men and women of God. We need mothers and fathers who are courageous enough to live by God's Word, to know what the Bible says and to live by the Word of the Lord. And so we're to be thankful for the things that God has done, but then we need to be faithful to the law of God and to the Word of God. You know, one of the more sad things is the fact that a lot of people know more than they're willing to live by. They know what the Bible says. Even many in this generation who are making fun and ridiculing religion and the Bible and Christianity, many of them know what the Bible has to say and have rejected it, turned away from it. It takes courage to stand for the truth. Amen. Be faithful to the Word of the Lord. Be ye therefore courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, that you turn not aside therefrom to the right hand or to the left. Don't be influenced by a worldly philosophy, but believe the Word of God. Amen. In verse number 10, now this is a part of his message that he spoke to that generation that concluded with the statement, but as for me and my house, we are going to serve God. Amen. And so in verse 10, he says, one man of you shall chase 1,000. He was talking about the fact that God had been with them and how that he had empowered them. One man of you shall chase 1,000. For the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised you. Amen. Glory to God. Now, the key is getting on the side of what's right. If you want the blessing and the favor of God, then get in the column of doing that which is right in the sight of the Lord. Amen. And when you're in obedience to God, you can have that confidence. God is going to fight for me. God is going to help me. God is going to strengthen me. He is going to help me. If you'll do what's right, if you'll be obedient to the Word of the Lord, God will fight your battles for you. He said, one of you will put 1,000 to flight. It won't matter the numbers. It won't matter the ratio as far as the conflict that you're in. If you'll just stand for right, you'll have all the host of heaven behind you. You'll have the Word of God behind you. You'll have all of eternity supporting you and behind you if you do what is right. Praise God. God's going to fight your battles for you. Amen. And really, as families and husbands and wives and fathers and mothers, it's so important that we do what is right according to the Word of God. Amen. Read it in the Word of God. And when you heard it taught, when you heard it preached, when you read it and God spoke to your heart through the Word of the Lord, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. Obey the Word of the Lord. And then you'll be blessed with His favor, and He will strengthen you, and He'll fight your battles for you. We need a defender in times like this. We need a defense. And one of the reasons why that we are fighting some of the battles that we are is because we are a straddle the fence. We believe the Bible when it's convenient. But when it is difficult and when we have to pay a price, when it takes more courage than we have, then we're a little bit wishy-washy in our commitment. But there has to be an absolute commitment to the Word of God. Amen. You know, isn't it interesting how that the world is just so bold? The world is so bold to speak their perverted ideas in their worldly philosophy. They don't care. They're so brash and so bold. And then whenever a Christian speaks up for what is right, then he's looked at as if he's just so out of step. And he's a person that isn't feeling or understanding of other people. Amen. Let me tell you, you can speak the truth in love. You don't have to be mean and hateful about it. But be courageous and stand for what is right. And let your children see you standing for right. You talk about putting a backbone in the lives of your sons and daughters when they see mom and dad doing what is right and even sometimes having to pay a price for what is right. So be faithful to the word of the Lord. Be strong, knowing that God will fight your battle for you. Verse 11. These verses are just, he's saying, be cautious. Be cautious. Verse 11. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that you love the Lord your God. Else if you do in any wise, go back and cleave unto the remnant of these nations, even these that remain among you, and shall make marriages with them, and go in unto them, and they know you. Know for a certainty that the Lord your God will no more drive out any of these nations from before you. But they shall be snares and traps unto you, and scourges in your side, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from off this good land which the Lord your God hath given to you. Here's the word of caution. The word of caution is, take heed to yourself. Take heed to yourself. The reason why that many times homes and marriages break up is because selfishness. Selfishness. People are bound up in their own desires. They're living by their own desires to satisfy themselves, and they don't care about anyone else. They are selfish. They are self-focused. They are building their life with a love for themselves. And it's played out in their carnality. It's played out in their selfish decisions that they make. And it's because of people who are not willing to come be honest before the Lord and to admit their weaknesses and their failures and repent of those things. Amen. Father, it's not going to make your child think you're weak if they see you weeping and crying in an altar. They're not going to think you're weak because they see you meek and repentant before God. No, they're going to see you as a man of God. Mom, they're going to see you as someone with courage and conviction. Because you've humbled yourself before the Lord. Take heed unto yourself. That's where it begins. It begins in your right relationship with God. Amen. When a husband gets off base, when a wife gets off base and it begins to disregard the word of the Lord and become selfish in their desires and self-focused, then that home and that family becomes vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. So be cautious. Take heed to yourself. The scripture says, here was the warning. Take heed that you love the Lord your God. I've talked to people and even counsel with people. I remember when someone came to me years ago that they were divorcing. And they came to me asking, people, they love to use the scripture to defend what they're doing. And they do that. They'll pick out some isolated verse and say, this lady actually said, well, the Bible says that God allowed them to divorce because of the hardness of their heart. It was under Moses. And she said, my heart is hard toward my husband, so I need to divorce him. My heart is just hardened toward him. So I guess it's okay, it's right for me to divorce my husband. People use the most foolish, ridiculous ideas and even try to use the Bible to defend what they are doing. What was the problem? He said, take heed to yourself that you love God. Love God. Amen. 99.9% of the time, if husbands and wives are in conflict or separation or divorce, if both of them will get right with God, that thing can be resolved. They have to both get honest before God. They have to both get right with the Lord and begin to love God.
and then they will be able to love one another again. And then he said, he gave them the warning. Don't intermingle. Don't allow yourself to associate. Don't go back and associate with those who inhabit this land. They're pagan and they're ungodly. And you begin to associate with them and you will suffer the consequences. And the consequence that he gives them there in this passage of Scripture, verse 13, he says, know for a certainty, if you do that, God's not going to be with you anymore. He's not going to drive out your enemies anymore. But instead, your enemy is going to be a snare to you, a trap to you. He is going to be like a thorn in your eye. You're going to constantly have trouble and problems. People think, oh, if I go my own way and I live the way of the world, then I can just be happy and enjoy the pleasures of doing what I want to do. How many times have you heard that? Talking to people who want to break up their family. I want to do what I want to do. Tired of doing what I have to do for my companion. I want to live my own life and satisfy myself. And that's, and in so doing, Joshua warned them and told them, you do that and you're going to have a thorn in your eye. You're going to have trouble constantly. And the ways of the world are not going to satisfy you. You're going to have more trouble and more problems than you could ever imagine if you follow the ways of the world. The only way to real peace and happiness in a home is for that home to be truly Christian, for husband and wife to love God, to love the things of God, to love the Word of God. Then there can be peace and there can be joy in that household. Amen. Be faithful. Be strong. Obey the Word of the Lord. Let God fight your battle for you. Be cautious. Be aware of the situation that you are in. But then, do like Joshua told them to do in verses 14 of chapter 24. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. And put away the gods of your fathers. Put them away. Forsake them. Be honest before God. Be sincere before the Lord. Amen. And then make a decision. Really, it's important. You know, a lot of people say, well, when it comes to love, they marry based upon the fact that they think that they love that person, and they really don't even have an understanding of the whole concept of love. That love really, I don't know, this may, you know, destroy all the ideas of, you know, romanticism and all of that, but love is a decision you make. You determine. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm going to do with all of my heart. This is what I'm going to do. That's what you do when you stand on the platform before God and the minister. Then he goes through the vows with you that you are promising and committing yourself. You are deciding that day, I'm committing myself in love. I'm committing myself in this decision that I'm making, that this is till death do us part. This is for life. I am making this vow before God and all of these witnesses. Amen. Joshua said you have to make a decision. You have to determine in your heart what is right. Be decisive. You have to be willing to make the right decision. Amen. As for me and my house, we're going to serve God. We're going to put God at the center of our home, of our marriage, of our family. And whenever God is removed from that place that He deserves to be, then you have lost that stabilizing force in your life. And you're very, very vulnerable to the attack of the enemy. You can always follow the pattern of carnal decisions. One after another, and then suddenly crash, and you wonder, how did this happen? How did his home fall apart? How did this divorce come? How did this tragedy come? One carnal decision after another. Begin to lead that person away from God and down a pathway, away from the voice of the Lord. And then destruction came. Amen. I believe that it's important in a church that a church is a strengthening force for families and marriages. Amen. Amen. And we take a stand, a strong stand for what is right according to the word of the Lord. and do what is right. We follow the pattern of the Word of God. I've noticed this in the last few years in the school, our school enrollment, and that we have had a good majority. Sometimes, when I say a good majority, I mean a good percentage, rather, of students who are in single-parent families, or in some way their family has got some dysfunction in that family through some situation that they're dealing with. And they're in a Christian school, but yet they're facing many, many trials and troubles and difficulties in families. The enemy would love to destroy you. He would love to destroy your household, your family, that divine institution of God. He would love to destroy what God has established. Let's build a fortress. Amen. Build a fortress around our households, our families, our marriages, our children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's stand together. Lord, I thank you for your word. And I know, Lord, that from the pages of your word, you give to us, Lord, insight, instruction, wisdom, to know what to do. Surely, Lord, we are living in a crooked and a perverse generation. Lord, when that which is wrong is being declared to be right, and that which is right is being declared to be wrong. We live in an upside down world. Oh God, a perverted world. But God, I know that you can establish us in righteousness. You can establish us, Lord, as families, Lord, and protect us. Lord, would you build, I pray, a wall, a fortress around every family represented here today. Every home and marriage. God, do a work in the hearts of husbands and wives. Do a work, Lord, in homes, Lord, that we could understand the importance of putting you first in all that we do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to pray this morning. Before I invite everybody to come around the altar, I just want to, first of all, ask if there might be someone here today. You're not right with God. You're not saved. You don't know the Lord. But I want you to know that turning your life over to the Lord is the beginning of hope for your life. Hallelujah. And I challenge you today. Do that. Do that. Turn to the Lord. Make the decision today to serve the Lord. I know that God, speaking to hearts and dealing with you, respond to the voice of the Lord here today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Could we pray? Could we come together and let's find a place here around the altar? If you want to come as families, that's fine. But everybody, make a place here for prayer around the altar. It's early enough that we can come and we can pray together and we can believe God. Let's come gather in here around this altar and let's believe God to establish us in righteousness and in truth and to fortify our families from every attack of the enemy. In Jesus' name. Would you come? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray together. Let's believe God. Praise the name of the Lord. Oh, we do thank you, Lord Jesus.